There's not a box to tick to say this is to be used for communion. So anyway, right now, I just feel so encouraged right now. I don't know if you were here last week and you heard Dave's story. Dave Williams came and just shared how he was a complete and utter skeptic, and God healed him in Christian Julian's kitchen of severe tendonitis, which he'd had for years. And then he came to church that Sunday and gave his life to the Lord, totally transformed. It was so inspiring to hear his story. What he didn't mention last week was that when he came that first Sunday, I met him. He came here and I said, "Dave, it's great to see you," because I'd seen him in the week. "Great to see you here." He said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, I told some of my friends about my arm being healed, and they said it just proves that it was psychosomatic." And he said, "I know the pain that I was in. I cannot help but believe." And that was his journey. I just feel like God is on the move, isn't it, in our day? He is doing stuff, even in little old Bedford. And I've begun to realize that God is no respecter of persons or places. He loves to move where people are hungry to see him move. And I think we're going to see some more of that here. Today we are continuing our series on the book of 1 Corinthians. We're finishing this month. We've got 4 more weeks together looking at it. And our focus over those 4 months is going to be on the whole area of using our gifts, finding and using our gifts. Because if we are going to see God move across this town, it is not going to be just through a few superstars. It is going to be through the whole church being mobilized, being gathered together, and being sent out, knowing what their gifts are, what their part to play is, and the message they've got to take to share with others. And so if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. It's also on the screen. In your bulletin, just for more information, there's far more that we can do, even in 4 weeks. So if you visit the website in the bulletin, there's a link on the website for some more information. And also just to say that Mike Milner is going to be running a 3-week course this term on called the Discovery Course, where it will enable you to discover your gifts and get some time to work with others in coming through and maturing in your gifts. So that should be a great course that's going to be coming up. But anyway, let's read 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Just pause there very briefly. What is Paul's point? What's he trying to say in these first few verses? Well, it's this. He's helping us to avoid 2 extremes that can happen within churches. The first extreme are those who are so terrified of anything to do with the Spirit, so terrified of getting into any error, so terrified of the things that they can't see, can't just feel with their hands or see with their eyes or hear with their ears, so terrified of God, the fact that he is Spirit and all of that, that they avoid anything spiritual. And they say, "Let's just keep it to what we can see and understand and what we know." And they chuck everything away and they just end up. The problem with that error is that you end up with powerless Christianity. Powerless Christianity. I don't know if you've ever been in a church with lovely people, but you just thought, "This is powerless. There's absolutely no power here." I was brought up in a church like that. Lovely, fantastic people, but there was absolutely no power. There was no life change. There was no transformation. We were declaring this message of God who changes lives, but nothing was happening. And it was because the church had slipped into this error of saying everything that's spiritual has got to be out. We can't have that. And that's one side. And the second extreme, the other end, is the holy rollers. Some call them the charismaniacs. Big hair, white suits. And they've recognized that there is a spiritual reality. I mean, you can't read the New Testament and get away from the fact that there is a spiritual reality if you're reading it with an open mind. But some people just take it so far, and everything is super spiritual. And you sneeze and they try and cast a demon out of you. And it becomes like that. And just the whole culture is just steeped in super spirituality. And Paul's leading us in these first few verses down the middle road. He's saying, we shouldn't embrace everything. We should be open to the Spirit, but we must be discerning. We must be discerning. What's driving this spiritual activity? What's his point? He's saying the fruit of the stuff that comes from the Holy Spirit is Christ-honoring. It makes Jesus out as Lord. That's the fruit of it. And so we need to be discerning with this whole area of spiritual gifts. And just for the record, that's where we've pitched our tent as a church, in this middle ground. We refuse to throw out genuine spiritual activity, but we want to do it with discernment. We want to be open, but with discernment. I guess we're charismatics with a seatbelt. And we're looking for this Christ-honoring result of the spiritual activity. And I'm so conscious that we have so many here who find this whole area difficult. You might have come before and seen when we pray for people at the end, sometimes people fall over. Sometimes people shake or they cry or they shout out. And you're thinking, what is all that going on? I'll let you into a secret. It makes me feel very uncomfortable. I often have guests who come along who aren't Christians, and I know how awkward and difficult it makes them feel because they just don't understand it when they've never experienced it before. What I found, though, is that God just will not be boxed. I would like it all nice and safe and clean and all like that, and just God just will not be boxed. And if I try and box him, he says, okay, you play your game then. I'll wait for another invite. And that's what I've seen that happen to so many churches. And so there's this whole area of mess that comes when the Spirit starts moving and things start kicking off. But if we want God's power, we've got to get used to it. And it was funny, actually, because we had Julian Adams come, who's a prophetic guy from South Africa, and he came, and I knew it was going to be absolutely wild. And I knew it was going to be a wild night. And we couldn't get him on a Sunday, and to be honest, quite secretly, I was pleased. So we had him on a Tuesday night, and I thought, it'll be all right, because only the people, you know, only the Keenies will come. And they'll be all right anyway, and there won't be any visitors there, so it'll be fine. So we get there, and it wasn't even at this venue, it was at Bromham Baptist, which is even better. And so we got there, and you know the meeting was starting, and then I turned around, and there were three people from Alpha there, and I thought, who on earth invited them? I was thinking, I've got to have a word with that Alpha team. Alpha is our introductory course to Christianity. These are guys who are never going to see anything like this before, might not have even been in church before. I'm thinking, what are they doing here? And so it all started, and of course, as I had known, it all kicked off. There were people on the floor, people crying. Julian was giving prophetic words for people. They were like, ah! I mean, it was just absolutely crazy, and I'm thinking, oh, no. And I said, okay, God, if they walk out of here and never come back again, then I'm right. Some words to that effect. And so so it was a test. This meeting was a test, and I knew it was a test. And I had the sneaking suspicion that God was laughing at me, not with me. And so about three quarters of the way through the meeting, Julian says, I've got a word for you. And he points to one of the, it was two ladies and a guy. And he points to one of the ladies. And I thought, oh no, leave her alone. They're all sitting there with their arms crossed. He said, I've got a word for you. Please, would you mind standing up? She stands up. He said, actually, would you mind coming to the front? I'm like, oh no, it's even worse. And so he gets her to the front and he starts to prophesy over and he gives her a word. I mean, it was like he was reading her mail. And as I looked, tears just began to pour down their face. Back down her face. She just began to weep and weep. I thought, I think it might be all right. And then later on, one of her other friends came, and she was praying for someone with Julian. And I thought, that's weird. And then she said to Julian, can you pray for me? I'd like a prophetic word as well. And so he prayed for her. Do you know what? At the end of the Alpha course, which was about 6 or 7 weeks later, two of those three gave their lives to Christ. The other one's still on a journey. Hasn't been put off at all. I think God won. You see, people are hungry for the genuine, aren't they? They are hungry for genuine spiritual encounter. They'll put up with a bit of a mess if they encounter the real deal, if they really do meet with God. They don't want any fake stuff. They don't want any hype, but they want to meet with God. And I would say that's where we are as a church. And on Sundays, we're going to keep going for it. We're going to keep explaining. I think explaining is the secret, isn't it? Explaining what's going on so that people are comfortable, at least as comfortable as they can be. Okay, this is God. This is in the Bible. All this stuff, falling over, shaking, crying, it all happens in the Bible. We're just seeing that stuff happen today. I know it's weird for our culture, but it's just God on the move. So we want to explain stuff. But I would urge you in your small groups on a Sunday, go for it. Go to encounter God, because that is the middle road that we want to pursue. Let God be God. Okay, so Paul continues. Verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We're going to come back to those few verses in a moment. Let's just read on. To one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kind of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. A couple of points that we need to make first. Firstly, this is not an exhaustive list of gifts. There are other gifts. There are actually four or five places in the New Testament that list gifts, and no two of them are the same. I think that communicates something in that there are lots of gifts. There are lots of gifts out there, and we like to have it nicely boxed, but God loves to give gifts. And so the other gifts that aren't mentioned there, one is giving, which is always a popular one. Give that to the guy next to me, Lord. There's service. There's leadership, there's teaching, there's administration, there's all these other gifts as well out there. And we're going to get into more detail on those a bit later in this series. But the only overwhelming point I want to draw out of this is this. Everyone has a gift. Everyone has a gift, at least one. Maybe more. Everyone has a gift. And I remember one time when I was 6 or 7, and I was around a friend's house, so 3 or 4 of us, and I think it was an aunt or an older sister came, and she brought ice lollies, and we all crowded round her, and she went down the line, and she gave one to the first one, one to the second, and I was last because I was being polite, I was a visitor, and she got to me and she said, "Oh, Simon, I didn't know you were here, I haven't got one for you." There is no happy ending to that story, that is what happened. And I still get a shiver when I see an ice cream van, even now. There's no happy ending. That is what happened. But so many feel like that's what it's like with God. I've got gifts for this person. And I've got, "Oh, sorry, I didn't realize you were coming as well. There's nothing for you." Everyone has a gift. Everyone has a gift. You will not be missed out. Let's briefly outline some of those gifts. The word of knowledge, Paul talks about. If you've come to King's Arms for any length of time, you'll be familiar with the word of knowledge. We have it operating most Sundays, where someone has a word of something they couldn't know, often about a healing that somebody needs, that they couldn't possibly have known using their natural kind of mind. Tabo Huntley has just written an article for me on how he's grown in the word of knowledge. We're going to stick that on the website. But just one quick story. We were with Tabo down in Brighton, and there was a whole group of us, and we're having a meal just after a recent conference. And he, at the end of the meal, he turns to the waiter and he said, "Have you ever been in a motorbike accident?" And the waiter's like, "No," he said, "but I have been in 5 car accidents." And Tabo said, "The word accident came to me. Could I just talk to you for a moment?" And we took him over to one side. And he told the story of how he'd been in 5 separate car accidents. And he thought that he should have died in at least 2 of them. And he said, "There's someone looking after me. I call him my friend." And we were able just to say, "Listen, this is who your friend is." And we got him in touch with a church in Brighton there. That's the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom, it's similar. It helps us know what's the best course of action in a given circumstance. Royden Lovely often operates in that gift in our leadership team meetings. You know, when PJ comes up with crazy harebrained schemes. Everyone who knows the two of us knows it's not PJ. And Royden just brings a word that brings a wise course of direction for us. Faith is a gift listed here. We're all called to have faith, but sometimes God gives people, for specific times, a turbo boost of faith. I remember there was a guy that I was praying with for a number of times. I'd prayed with him, and we just hadn't been getting through on a particular issue that he was looking for freedom. And then one meeting, just faith hit me. And I knew he was going to get free there and then. And I just said, I just commanded freedom to come in his life. I felt so bold. And it came. He got set free instantly because faith hit me in that moment. Gifts of miracles and healings, Paul mentions. Miracles are instantaneous. Healings can take a time. You know, Jesus said in Mark 16, he says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Doesn't mean to necessarily say that they will recover instantly. And so often we operate out the gift of healing, which takes a time for people to recover. That's how I see most people healed. Not instantaneously, but overnight, over a few hours, over a few weeks. Sometimes I've seen them healed instantaneously. Miracles, of course, is also supernatural power of God, like in miraculous provision of food and that kind of thing. Prophecies, the ability to speak the words of God. We've got later in this term, we're going to have 3 weeks in an evening doing a course on prophecy, which you'll be able to sign up for. Tongues is a spiritual prayer language. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to have a whole session on tongues. It's just a little brief introduction to some of the gifts. But I wanted to spend the rest of this session looking at two things. How do we receive gifts and how do we grow in gifts? Kind of to lay a foundation for us. How do we receive gifts and how do we grow in gifts? In verse 4, Paul writes this, "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities. It's the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And in verse 11, "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." It's quite clear, isn't it? Gifts are gifts. They are given by a sovereign God to his people. He is the empowerer. You cannot earn them. You cannot put your place in earning God's favor to earn gifts. The actual word is charismata, which means gracelets. Gifts made real, made concrete. The grace of God made concrete in your life. We are a charismatic church. Why? Because we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe that God is using them today. God is not a reluctant giver. You know, some of us have believed the lie that God is a reluctant giver. At least with you. Maybe he's not with everyone else. But at least with you, he's a reluctant giver. Listen, God is not a reluctant giver. I cannot tell you the hours that Caroline and I have spent choosing presents for my 4-year-old's birthday tomorrow. Caroline's been back to the shop 3 times, taking stuff back. We're like, oh no, that's not quite... Because we want the best presents for him. And he changes his mind on a daily basis. What did Jesus say? If you, being evil, give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven give good gifts? How much more? God is not reluctant. He gives good gifts. Say good gifts. Good gifts. Say it like you mean it. Good gifts.
Good gifts.
Other of us need to stop comparing ourselves to others. Every single one of us has unique fingerprints. What does that communicate to us? That God's interested in crime prevention? I don't think so. Well, I think he is, but side issue. Every one of us has a unique DNA. What does that communicate to us? It communicates that God is not some Chinese toy factory churning out millions of the same Barbie doll. That God loves his children and makes each one individually. He gives us varieties of gifts, varieties of service. Some will prophesy in one way, some in another. Some will serve in one way, some in another. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you're operating in the gifts that God has given you. Say, stop comparing.
Stop comparing.
Say, good gifts.
Good gifts.
All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions each one individually as he wills. You know, for years, I misunderstood that completely. I had the Eeyore translation of the Bible. Do you remember Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? And this is how he translates that verse. God's chosen, so I'm going to have to lump it. There's nothing I can do. Poor old me. Probably going to hate it. See, that was good. Oh, I've been working on that. That is the Eeyore translation of that verse. And that's how I saw it. It put me into a totally passive mode. God's just apportioned it. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to influence him. I'm just going to have to accept it and I'm probably going to hate it. That's how I translated that verse internally. No. How does God will? Is it completely arbitrary? Is it completely random? I don't think so. How much more does your Father in heaven give good gifts to those? This is who God gives good gifts to. Firstly, those who want them and ask for them. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly, eagerly desire the greater gifts. You can eagerly desire gifts. And Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Some of us have stopped receiving gifts because we've given up. We've settled for the ye or translation. And it also applies to growing in our gifts. Some of us have hit the limit on our gifts. They don't grow to a greater level because we've thought, oh, well, that's all I've got. That's all the greater, that's the measure that I've got. You know, I am always asking God for more gifts and for greater gifting. Not for my own benefit, but because the more I have, the more I can give away to others. I've realized that this message is the hope of the world, and the Spirit of God coming in power and moving through me is the only hope that some people will have. It's the only hope that everyone has. And I've prayed a number of times for guys in over particular areas, and at the end of it, they're not free. And I say, okay, well, let's pray again. And every time I go home and I say, God, you've got to give me more power. I've got to get more power. Because these people have got to get free. They are desperate, Lord. They've been living like this for so many years. God, you've got to give me more power so that they can be set free. You see, when I read the scripture, I see that Jesus just spoke to people and they were free. He just says he set them free with a word. And I'm like, God, I've got to see that here in our day in Bedford. Why not Bedford? You see, we cannot afford to reduce the level of scripture to our experience. We have to seek to raise our experience to the level of Scripture. We cannot afford to reduce the level of Scripture to our experience. We have to seek to raise our experience to the level of Scripture. You know, there's some false teaching going around in some churches that says you can only ask once. If you ask more than once, it's unbelief. You should have believed the first time. Don't ask more than once. Can I say with all due respect to anyone who teaches that, it's absolute rubbish. Because the Bible says, ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. You think, why? Why do we have to keep asking? I don't know. That's just what it says. That's just what we've got to do. And maybe it's because as we keep asking, it somehow prepares us to receive the gift. Maybe it's as we keep on asking, it makes us realize that we are not Aladdin. And he is not the genie. Maybe the place of desperation is the place that makes us big enough to receive the greatness of what God wants to do in our lives. I don't know why we have to keep on asking. That's what it says. That's what I do. And you know, impartation plays a big part in this. I can sense now when people have spiritual oppression about fear in their lives. I can just see it on their faces. It's the strangest thing. And it hasn't always been like that. I'll tell you when it happened. When I went to the States and I was prayed for by a guy called David Nelson, and he had the most amazing gift of discernment. I mean, he could read my issues like before I'd even walked through the door. Well, actually, after I'd walked through the door. But I hadn't said anything. And he listed off the issues that I had. And I know some of you could do that as well, but this is different. He hadn't met me before. And he had this incredible gift of discernment. And in that session, I came back from the States completely different. He laid hands on me and prayed for me. It was for other stuff. But at the same time, I was saying, God, give me what he's got. And now I have this, and I don't say this to brag. I'm just saying there is a power in impartation. When people who are gifted lay hands on others, gifts can be imparted like this. They're spiritual. And that's how it works. And 2 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift in you, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. There's an impartation of gifts that comes. And I tell you, whenever I meet or know about someone who I think can impart something to me, I am there getting them to pray for me. I am shameless. You know, if you're in front of me in the queue, sorry. You know, I remember at Brighton a few months ago, and Rob Rufus was speaking. He's just got an amazing ministry in seeing people healed. And so he was speaking, and Tabo and Wendy had saved me a seat, and it was 3 in from the end. And so I got there, and you know, I'd asked them to save me a seat, and I said, you saved me a seat, it's 3 in from the end. And they're like, yeah, that's all right. And I was like, no, I can't sit there. I can't sit there. So I refused to sit there, and I sat 5 rows behind them on an end seat. Now, why was I so obnoxious? The reason is this, because I knew that when Rob prays for people at the end, he says, there's 5,000 people there, mind. When he prays for people at the end, he says, will the first 50 make their way to the front and I'll pray for you? I was going to be one of those 50, I tell you. So I sat on the end seat, and then when he got everyone to stand at the end and says, you know, if you'd like to stand, I shuffled forward. So I was standing by Tabs and Winnie, and they looked at me, they said, we knew you'd be coming, so outrageous. Yeah. So I shuffled there, well, no one noticed. I was 49, but I was up there. Are you eagerly desiring? I'm communicating this to show you how eagerly I think we should be desiring these gifts. How we should be running after them. For our own sake? No. Because there is a lost and dying world out there that needs a church full of gifts and as much gift as they can possibly get. If you want a gift or you want to grow in a gift, ask God for it. Keep on asking. Keep eagerly desiring. Some of us have hit a ceiling and we thought God was a ceiling. And this morning you're realizing God was not the ceiling. You have been your own ceiling. God wants to blow that ceiling off. There is no shortage of power. Secondly, those who are faithful with what they've been given. Remember, Jesus tells the story of the parable of the talents. Three guys all received gifts. Two of them used their gifts, and at the end of the story received more. One of them didn't use his gift. Even what he had, it was taken away from him. Be faithful with what you have. That's the lesson. Be faithful with what you have been given. Try different things out. I've been a youth leader. I've done prophecy stuff. I led worship in house group for years, much to the pain of those who attended. I'm still stewarding, setting up and packing up in the morning and an evening. I've worked in IT. I've done engineering. It's only in the last 2 or 3 years I finally feel like I've settled with what I feel like I'm called to be doing. A lot of it has come through trial and error, trying different things. Try different things. Open yourself up for input. I sat down with PJ a few months ago and said, PJ, I need some help with my preaching. I'm not satisfied with where I am. And we listened to one of my preachers together, and as we went through it, and the conversation that followed, there was just a revelation that came, which it was a catalyst for some internal change, which has shaped much of who I've been in the last few months. Keep stepping out. Wendy was talking to Wendy this week, and she was saying, you've seen Wendy at the front here, and how accurate the words of knowledge she's bringing these days for people that she's got no knowledge of, and she's picking them out as she's reading their mail. And I was talking to her the other day, and she says, you know, it's still scary. I'm still not sure if it's from God or not. I still have to step out and take a risk. I still, you know, I was so encouraged. Well, if it's like that for her, how much more should I step out in the things that God's calling me to do? Step out in your gifts and keep stepping out. Proverbs 13 says, the lazy man craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully realized. The lazy man craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully realized. Do you want your desires fully realized? Be diligent. Be faithful with what you already have. You know, the biggest thing that stops us being faithful, I think there's two things. One is the fear of disappointment, and the other is the fear of failure. The fear of disappointment and the fear of failure. It's two of the biggest paralyzers in the body of Christ. I was reading about Todd Bentley, who's a guy that God is using massively across the world at the moment. He prayed for 100 deaf people before he saw a single one healed. 100 deaf people. Think about that. You can read over that. Even if you prayed for 2 a week, that is 2 a week for 50 weeks before you see one person healed. Midway through this period, his own mother died, and she died deaf. She'd been deaf her whole life. And he got on his knees and he said, God, you've got to give me authority over deafness. You've got to give me the power. And I read at the end of his book, in one recent crusade in India, Todd and his team saw 120 deaf people hear and 22 deaf mutes hear and speak. Fear of disappointment, fear of failure. He writes in his book, some people came to me and said, Todd, how long should we pray for the sick? I replied, are they dead yet? No. Then keep on praying. I love that. Are they dead yet? No. Then keep on praying. You see, you've got to keep going. I'm going to keep believing God for an outpouring in this town until either God moves me on or I'm dead. You've got to keep going. You've got to not be afraid of failure or disappointment. You've got to keep going. And if I die still believing that God's going to hit this town in great power, seeing thousands saved and added to the church, if I die, then I'm going to believe God that my kids get to see it. You know, I've decided that. I had a dream actually recently that Caleb, my four-year-old, is four tomorrow, is going to see greater spiritual freedom for people than I've seen. And part of my job is to train him up. I tell you what, I'm going to give him the best shot I can. I'm going to build him a platform that's so high, he's just got to take a step and he's seeing outstanding things. That's what the Bible teaches, isn't it? Extraordinary signs and wonders were part of parcel of normal church life. That's what I'm going for. And if I don't see it in my day, then I'm going to build a big enough platform so that my kids can see it. Keep going. Don't let disappointment make you a casualty. But I prayed for this person, they weren't healed. I know it's painful, I've been through it before, but get up and pray again. But I've tried to step out in this gifting and it didn't work. I know it's painful, I've been through it, get up and try again. Don't get boxed, don't get put on the sidelines through disappointment or fear of failure. And lastly, those that he knows will use them for kingdom extension. Who does God will and give good gifts for? Those who want them and ask for them. Those who are faithful with what they've been given already. Those that he knows will use them for his kingdom extension. Paul says, to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Gifts are not given for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. I used to worry about ambition, you know. I used to think, oh God, I feel so confused. You know, is it my own pride that I want this stuff? I get tied up in knots. You know, and if you're a sensitive soul like me, things like that can paralyze you. And a friend wisely said to me, he said, Simon, you've got a desire for great gifts. Maybe that desire has been put there by God. I tell you what, it really liberated me. You see, some desire is ungodly. And in the Bible, the word ambition appears seven times. Six times it's preceded by the word selfish ambition. But one time it's not. It's when Paul says, my desire is to preach the kingdom of God in places that where it's not been preached. You see, where ambition and our desire are lined up with kingdom reality, then it's no longer selfish. And in the end, I pray, God, I'm going to keep going. You sort my motives out on the road. You humble me on the road if you have to, if it's out of pride. And sometimes I would see people operating in great gifts, like when Julian Adams came. And in the past, I would see something like that, and I'd get so jealous. And I'd say, God, why not me? What about me? Why have you missed me out? And all that. I don't worry about that anymore. I see someone like Julian Adams giving words for people that literally open up their hearts, bringing in the power of God wherever he goes. And I say, God, thank you for his gift. Now give it to me as well. Or at least give it to someone in the King's Arms. I just want to be in the room. I just want to be in the room where this stuff is happening regularly, week in, week out. When you see spiritual gifts, aspire to them. Don't let jealousy rob you. It's not like God runs out of power. There's more than enough to go around. You know, I was reading in Acts. I believe this is the next step for us as a church. Reading in Acts and over the summer, and I documented 14 healings or signs of God power in that book, Story of the Early Church, 14 individual occasions. Do you know what? On five of those occasions, it happened in church meetings. On two of those occasions, it's not clear where it happened. On seven of those occasions, it happened on the streets. 50% of the time, gifts were working out on the streets. I tell you what, it stirred my heart. I thought, we can't stop. We're getting stories here every Sunday. I think we've had one so far that's on the streets. Well, it was Christie's Kitchen. But one so far. We can't stop till we see at least 50%. And what encourages me, there's a church in Redding, California, which is a dive of a place by all reports, that is seeing at least 50%, if not more, stories from the streets than in church. For too long, the gifts of God have been trapped in the church. It is time to be mobilized as a church. It is time to take what God has put in us and take it onto the streets. They said to the apostles, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching about this Christ. I want us to be a church that is accused of the same thing. You have filled Bedford with the teaching and proclaiming and demonstrating this message of this Christ. Let's get ready to fill Bedford, shall we? Ephesians 3 says, we'll finish with this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'd love just to close your eyes for a moment. We'd just love to pray for us. There's some of you here, you're not yet a Christian, and just after this morning, you feel ready to give your life to Christ. I just want you to, if that's you, I just want to give an opportunity, really, out of respect for you. So if that's you, why don't you just pray this prayer for me, after me. Father, I come before you now as your child, uniquely made. I want to receive forgiveness and grace. And I want to join you on this mission to see your kingdom come. Draw me into a relationship with you now. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just keep your eyes closed. If anyone responded to that one, just raise your hand. It would be great just to... Anyone prayed that prayer? Felt ready to pray that? That's great. Got some material to give you. Okay, that's good. I've just got a few words for individuals, actually, that I'd like to bring. So if you're part of the building team, if you're helping us as a church get a church building, why don't you stand up? If you want to stand up now. I know there's some of you here. Great. I know Royden's not here. I just felt for you guys that God was bringing you into a great season of faith. And it's almost like all of your life up until this point, God has been preparing you in faith for this. I know for you, Theo, that some of the things that you've been through in your life have been a platform to build you to a place of great faith for this, because there is a faith adventure. I saw in my mind like a big step, and it was like as a team you were helping each other up. Individually, it was too tall, but as you got on each shoulders, as you got on each other's shoulders, you could climb up and overcome this step. I just love us to pray, because these guys are really at the forefront for all of us of searching for a building. So I want to just... Why don't we just pray together for them? If you're near them, you might just want to put your hand on them. We just pray, Father, come by your Spirit right now. We pray for an anointing of faith right now. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord God, that you'd release faith into their hearts, that they would be pushing us through to a place of faith where we can raise the million or so pounds that we need, maybe even 2 million, we don't know. God, I pray for faith to come in their hearts right now. Give them eyes to see and wisdom to know the right place to go for. We just commend them and commit them to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you've got a gift of administration, I'd love you to stand. You're good at organizing. You believe that you've got a gift of administration. I'd love you to stand right now. Just feel like God wants to do something. There's one in the church. Okay, we need to pray. Anyone else? Anyone? Yeah. Anyone else? There's four. We still need to pray. There's four. Okay, well, let's really pray. I'd love to pray for you guys. Ah, a few more, brilliant. I'd love to pray for you guys, because I just felt like this is one of the unseen gifts, isn't it? And I tell you what, I cannot tell you the team leaders that come to me that just have got all this vision and they say, I desperately need an administrator. And I'm like, this is why, because there's five in the whole church. So let's pray, shall we, as a church for these guys. These guys serve often very behind the scenes. But there's a releasing of, I just believe that God wanted to bless you guys this morning. I just pray for anointing on this gift of administration, Lord. There's no point having great vision if we can't get it done. And so we pray in your name, Lord Jesus, that you would release gifting on these guys. I pray that you break off a word of insignificance, that somehow, because it's not an upfront gift, you feel like it's insignificant. It is so significant for the body of Christ. And we pray that you would release it right now in Jesus' name. Just pray that you would release it now to each one of these, a great sense of their significance for your body, significance for the plans and the things that you want to do in Bedford. We bless this gift and all the other unseen behind the scenes gifts. We bless them now in Jesus' name. Just impart something to them now in your name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Finally, if you are a coach or a small group leader, just stand up now real quick and we'll just finish praying for this. These guys... lead in our small groups and coach our small groups, I would love to pray for these guys. Let's pray together. If you just don't stand, but put your hand on them if you're near. Impart something to them. I just feel like God is calling you to lead us forward to see the kingdom come. To lead us as a church forward into seeing this stuff on the streets. And to facilitate your groups to be groups that bring the kingdom wherever they go, in their friendships and their relationships. I just pray a blessing on these guys, Lord God. A blessing of anointing on these guys, that they would lead us forward on the streets, on the ground, in our homes, in our workplaces, that they would fill us with faith and courage. We just thank you for how they work tirelessly. We just say, come by your Spirit, Lord. Let them be a continual inspiration to us, Lord God. Give them the strength they need to see your kingdom come in this town, Lord. This isn't just talk, Lord. We believe you really want to do it. Come by your Spirit, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Why don't we all stand together and we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. If you've been stirred in faith this morning, perhaps some of you need to repent for putting a box around yourself. Just repent right now. The Bible says as we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive and wash us. Just repent of limiting yourself right now and just receive gifts from God. I've been really praying this week that the Holy Spirit would pour out gifts. So if you've wanted a gift for a long time, then ask for it right now. Ask God to give you that gift. Maybe you asked a long time ago and stopped asking. Well, ask again right now. This is a new season. There was someone a few weeks ago that were praying. They were saying, I think God's given me service, but my hands are on fire and I really want to have the gift of healing. So I was like, well, let's pray for that then. Great for you to serve, but let's pray for that as well. Just ask right now. Eagerly desire the greater gifts that God will be glorified. Yeah, we say, Lord, come by your Spirit right now. Across this room, pour out gifts, Lord. We need it. We believe that your name should be great in this town, Lord. And we need a church that's mobilized, that is taking this message of Christ and demonstrating the kingdom. We need to be people who bring joy and peace and hope and healing and life into our workplaces and homes and schools and colleges and streets and wherever we go. We say, come by your Spirit, Lord, right now, pour out gifts upon us. Pour out gifts upon us. Release your anointing power. Pray, release gifts of faith now. Release gifts of prophecy. There's some of you have been stuck at a level with prophecy. It's now to ask God for more. Ask him for a greater measure of gifting. Everyone has a gift. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Come by your Spirit, Lord God. Mobilize your church this morning. Let fire come upon each one of us right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let fire come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.